Welcome to this episode of Reddit Guy. The subreddit we will listen to today is called r/letsnotmeet. Our first post of this episode comes from Necessary Kitchen 7703 and it's titled I'm Harassed in My Collective Ownership. Hi Redditors. I have to tell you what is happening to me at the moment, and this since October 20th. I hope I'm not in the wrong sub, because the story isn't over. I live in a small condominium in a very quiet area, in one of the biggest city in France. My apartment is on the ground floor, at the very end of the building. In short, no one has to pass in front of my place because to access the upper floors, it is done at the other end, through the parking lot. However, at the very back of the residence there is a common garden through which it is possible to access the floors. It's stupid, the path is longer and muddy, but as it's possible, many newcomers use this path. I get along very well with four of my neighbors, we talk every day for several hours, to say the least. I have to take my dog out several times a day, they keep me company, and now protect me. On October 18th, my neighbor confides to me to have seen someone passing in front of her window, as she is the apartment before mine, the man would thus have passed at my place to reach the floors, so he passed on my ground. I don't want people I don't know to cross my property, it's my yard and it excites my dog, otherwise she barks and disturbs the neighborhood. On October 20th, the man passed by my house while I was taking the dog out in the common garden with my neighbors. I kindly asked this man not to pass on his land and I reminded him the real way to reach the floors, after he asked me if my dog was dangerous, so he wanted to reach the floors by the common garden. He started screaming, arms in the air, looked like an angry bear. Horrific. He seemed crazy, he yelled at me that he would send my dog to the shelter, that he could do whatever he wanted to, that he knew the commune rules. After yelling 1 or 2 minutes, he left mumbling. We were upset, but we never thought he would get his revenge. Here is the list, with the days, of all the surprises that he reserved me, even though at the time, we had no proof that the actions were his, 23/10, theft of 2 pairs of shoes that I leave outside, dirty, it is to take the dog out in the mud, 25/10, my car scratched and a tire deflated intentionally, 28/10, theft of my 4 garden chairs, my last pair of outdoor shoes and my doormat, 29/10, 2 intentionally deflated tires, 30/10, destruction of my mailbox lock, destruction of the padlock of my parking gate and attempt to destroy the lock of my door. From that point on, I'm just terrified. Do I have to go back to my parents? I am afraid for my dog, she is everything to me, she saved my life so many times. I filed a complaint with the police and I don't want to play his game. On 30/10, we installed a small camera hidden in a plastic flower pot and dead leaves on my land, between some bushes. We waited for only one thing, that he calm us back. To have a proof for the police and to identify clearly the man, he has a very particular style, maybe I could get my stuff back, if he didn't do anything with it. And, damn, the pose of, Evie, little name for our camera in public, I love you Wall-E, was effective. It took several days before Eve was filming more than just stray cats. Meanwhile, I was terrified at home, wondering if he was going to smash my car or try to poison my dog. I started to almost have panic attacks at work. Since I was late couple mornings when my tires were deflated, I had to endure stupid remarks from my bosses. A lot of anxiety. On 04/11, Eve filmed the guy stealing 2 pairs of shoes that I had left behind to lure him, and at night, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he knocks over my ashtray in front of my door. I've got him. I've got him. Fuck yeah. I was ecstatic. I can prove that this is the same man who verbally abused me and is messing with my stuff. I immediately notify my neighbors, and in the morning, as she left for work, my neighbor saw him chatting in the parking lot and she took a picture of him. I can even compare it to the videos, I can prove 100% that it is him. I wouldn't let him hurt me or my baby. I went to the police this morning to show them the videos and make a joint complaint. Yesterday, Eve filmed him trying to get into my house. I'm afraid to be home. I don't sleep at night anymore. I am afraid to leave my dog alone at home. I think I'm going to move, even though I was perfectly fine in this apartment. My mom wants to get a lawyer, and I'm so afraid of her retaliation. Sir, please understand that I just want to live my life without any more problems than I already have. Please stop, and don't let us ever meet again. Updates, 10 out of 10, new scratch on the car and 2 deflated tires. 13/10, try to break her front door lock plus small confrontation. The next post from Florianizer is titled My Brother Saw a Ghost as a Kid. 2 decades later, I realized what he actually saw. I was about 7 years old. my brother about 10. It was well past our bedtime when our mom woke up off the couch to put us to bed. Our dad worked construction out of town back then, so it was often just us three at the house for weeks at a time. Up the stairs and to the immediate right was our parents' bedroom. Going left put you in the middle of a hallway. Taking another left down that hallway led to my brother's room. The opposite end was my room, which was also across the hall from our upstairs bathroom. At either end of the hallway are windowed doors we always kept locked and rarely used. The door on my end led to a balcony overlooking our front yard, and the door on my brother's end opened to our back porch. The house kinda leans into a small hill. My brother and mom both had a habit of waking up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. I only knew this because I was always a light sleeper and they just couldn't help flushing with the door wide open. This night, however, my brother stopped on his way to his room and came back towards the bathroom. I'm gonna try to pee before I go to bed. The past few nights I've been too afraid to walk to the bathroom. I keep seeing a man wearing stripes at the end of the hallway. I don't know if my mom wrote it off as my brother telling ghost stories to try to scare me or if she was already half asleep and didn't catch it, but she didn't react at all to my brother's confession. I, on the other hand, was terrified by it. The fear of seeing a ghost like that at the end of the hallway or through the windows is the reason I started running from the stairs to my bedroom at night. Years later, when I was about 18, my mom and I were having a conversation in her car about a dog we had for a very short time when I was little. We were sharing stories about Max's tendency towards destroying my shoes and other unruly behaviors when my mom blurted out, "Do you remember that time I opened the front door for the cops and Max ran inside to the kitchen and started tearing open that big bag of dog food we had?" This really caught me by surprise, because in all the years I lived in that house we never once called the cops, gun owner family in a quiet, rural WV neighborhood, etc. I asked her what she was talking about and she looked equally surprised as if she had just revealed something by accident. "Oh, that's right, I never told you because you were too young at the time. One night, I woke up hearing noises outside my window and when I looked I saw a man staring into my bedroom." She went on to describe how turning on the lights caused him to take off running and how she grabbed my dad's pistol before calling the cops. I can't remember all the details I gave them when they showed up. Tall white male, wearing a striped shirt and jeans, short dark hair. Something like that. They said it matched the description of a man they were looking for in the area. It turns out he had escaped from jail on a murder charge. Now, I know it sounds so obvious hearing those two stories back to back, but it wasn't until a few years ago, in my mid-20s, that I pieced together that my brother had unknowingly warned us about a murderer who spent multiple nights casing our home. The next post from DJ Taffy is titled "Man on Train Decides He Doesn't Like How I Sit, Tries to Intimidate Me." This happened to me about a month ago but it still boggles me. Two points of background to make this story make sense. 1. I live in Tokyo and commute via those famously crazy crowded trains daily. There exists on them this kind of unspoken agreement that everyone works together to make this suck as little as possible. People for the most part hold their backpacks in front of them, men don't manspread etc. But that's when the trains are full. About two stops before mine, the train goes from sardine can to everyone on this train could lay on the seats and have room left over. So usually I can sit down at this point. 2. I'm not a Japanese woman. Very obviously so, even when I'm in my white dress shirt and pencil skirt like all the other office drones. I'm often the only obviously non-Japanese woman on my train in the morning. But despite my appearance, I'm fluent in Japanese. So one day I sit down when the train empties out, headphones in, mobile game going, ready to enjoy the 10 minutes of sitting I get on my hour commute. I'm sitting with my legs crossed, but there's maybe 10 people in the whole car so I'm not in anyone's way. I'm tuned out when all of a sudden a hand reaches out and grabs my bare knee, I'm in a skirt. I of course jolt straight out of my skin, rip out my headphones and look up at the hand's owner. It's some skinny old Japanese dude, 60s. He points at my legs, then at other people on the train, again, a max of 10 in a car that can hold 50 plus easily and probably held about 80 10 minutes ago. In slightly broken English he says, "You must not cross legs." I'm so bewildered by this I start to tell him in Japanese, "The train isn't crowded right now, I'm not in anyone's way," but he doesn't like this answer. He starts to reach for my legs again, presumably to uncross my legs himself. I, liking even less of this, summon up my loudest non-scream, "Don't touch me," and thankfully this is enough to get him to stop that, as another thing you don't do on trains here is make a fuss. Sadly though, yet another thing you don't do here is get involved. So despite a woman all but screaming, "Don't touch me, it's some foreign woman causing trouble, best not to get involved, etc. etc. so no one comes over. So while I've made it clear that I will not stand for physical confrontation, this old dude still feels comfortable enough to stand directly in front of me, nearly knee to knee, looming over me while he repeats endlessly, "You must." He did this for at least 5 minutes. I didn't move. I didn't blink or break eye contact. I started plans B through P of how to get off this train at the next stop. Thankfully, he gave up before the next stop, shaking his head and calling me a rude bitch in Japanese before wandering off. Still take the same train but haven't seen him since. Let's not meet again, leg police fucker, lest you find out what happens when you loom over a girl at dick punting height. Edit, removed double negative. The next post from Sharks Erday is titled "Had an incredibly frightening experience last night and wanted to know if anyone here has ever had a similar encounter." So last night, I was at a classmate's house working on a group project we have due tomorrow. I live in an apartment in the town where our university is located, and my classmate lives at his parents' house, which is in the foothills just outside of town. In order to get to the house, you have to drive along a relatively secluded and narrow two-lane road for about 5 to 6 miles. We started working on the project at about 6 p.m. and I ended up hanging around for a while after we had finished our working. So I left his house pretty late at about 11 and started down the road back towards town. I didn't realize how tough it would be to navigate the road at night. There were no streetlights and the road was unkept and riddled with potholes. On top of this, I had no cell service, so I had to drive very slowly to make sure I didn't blow out one of my tires, since I had used my spare a couple of weeks back. I figure I was about 3 miles from the house when I rounded a tight corner and saw a pickup truck with a camper shell parked diagonally across the road. The manner in which it was parked completely impeded my path and I couldn't drive around it because there was a gully on both sides of the road. The only way for me to go at this point was backward, where there was a pull-off that I could use to turn my car around. At first I couldn't see inside the cab, but when I turned on my high beams I saw that there was a man slouched over in the driver's seat, his head resting against the steering wheel as if he had been knocked out after a bad accident. I immediately sensed something was wrong, the way his car had just, coincidentally, come to rest in a position that totally blocked the road was a big red flag for me. I had heard stories of people playing dead in the road as a way to lure unsuspecting people out of their cars so they could rob them. I decided, fuck this shit, and elected to go back to my classmate's house and explain what was going on. I threw the car into reverse and kept my eyes darting back and forth between my rearview and the truck. I looked and saw that I was almost to the pull-off where I could turn around. When I looked back, my heart skipped about 5 beats. The man who had been slouched over in the driver's seat was now walking at my car at a hurried pace while a few other men jumped out of the camper shell and started moving towards me as well. I panicked and accelerated backwards into the pull-off, which messed up the undercarriage of my car pretty bad. As I put it into drive, the guy was already at my passenger side door tugging on the handle, which, thank the Lord, was locked. I only caught a brief glimpse of him, but his face appeared to be scabbed and leathery, definitely a meth head or some sort of drug abuser. I sped away and didn't slow down at all until I reached the house, constantly checking my rearview to see if they were following. Thankfully they didn't tail me, and when I reached the house I explained what had happened to my classmate and we called the cops. I was grateful that my buddy's parents were kind enough to let me stay the night. They didn't find anyone on the road matching the description, but I filed an incident report and they told me they would be on the lookout for similar vehicles and suspicious activity. But holy shit, I'm still so shook up over it. I keep getting the same adrenaline rush I got when I saw the guy charging me whenever I think about it. Please share similar experiences you've had, as I would appreciate a good read or a good discussion to help clear my headspace. The next post from Ligamentary is titled, "He asked for me by name. Yes. Call 911. I've never seen him in my life. Dot. I was watching my daughter's kids while she and her husband go out of town. They have a teenage daughter, let's say her name is Alyssa. At like 3 a.m. I'm woken up by a weird rustling sound and look out the window and see movement. I saw a boy emerge from the bushes on the side of the house. I saw a bike tossed on the lawn that definitely wasn't ours. My first thought was it was a burglar casing houses, but since he looked young and came through on a bike, I figured scaring him straight would be enough for him to decide to head home. Didn't want to ruin a teenager's life by calling the cops straight away. So I went out on the porch, flipped the lights on, and said, 'Can I help you?' in my classroom voice. The guy looked surprised but not nervous. He was wearing a Letterman-style jacket, but once I got a clear view of him in the streetlights, he seemed much older than my granddaughter. Gruff. And more wiry than athletic. He walked up closer to the house and said, "Yar, I'm looking for Alyssa." I gave him a disapproving glare, hoping he'd realize he came looking for a girl late at night, and a grumpy old person answered, "It's time to split." I'm thinking what must have happened is Alyssa knew her parents were going out of town, and maybe before she knew I'd be staying over, told a secret older boyfriend to come over. It was late and I was alone with several kids, so I didn't want him coming any closer to the house. I also thought it was weird he came so late and wanted to be sure Alyssa actually wanted to talk to him. So I said, "I'm sorry. Who?" And he said, "Alyssa. You know, Alyssa last name. This is her house." I thought, he knew her full name, they must be at least friends. I said, "You wait there." He started to walk up and I felt a sick burning in my gut. Instinct kicked in. I yelled, "No. Stop. Freeze." Then readjusted and said, "You stay right there. This is private property, don't take a step closer. Wait. There." So I go in and Alyssa is asleep just one room over from where the rustling first occurred, and I wake her up and say something to the effect of, "I don't know what the big idea was to have friends over this time of night, but you tell them to go home." She has no clue what I'm talking about. I say, "There's a guy outside asking for you." Confused, she gets up and goes to the window. She sees him and goes white as a sheet. "He asked for me, Yar. By name, yes. Call the police. I've never seen him in my life." I called 911 immediately, but as I was on the phone with him, Alyssa started tugging at my arm. "He's coming up." I had younger kids in the house to think about, so I kept the door latched and pulled it just open enough for the latch and yelled, "I asked my husband and none of us know an Alyssa last name. Leave my property or I'm calling 911. He got angry and started yelling for her to come out. Thankfully the police came pretty quickly, and when he heard the sirens he grabbed the bike and ran off. I watched where he was running and he jumped into the passenger side of a car without headlights or front plates and sped off. The police followed in the same direction once I pointed them. But they didn't get him. They advised us to take all her social media details offline if she was sure she didn't know this person, and said they'd had a couple similar reports recently and were looking into it. I got a heavy duty lock and she slept in my room for the remainder of my visit. The next post from Cygnus 875 is titled "Creepy Dude in the Pharmacy with a Weird Fetish." This happened maybe 10 years ago when I was in my early 30s. I was standing in line at the local pharmacy to get my prescriptions. This is a small town and I am a regular there, so they know me on sight. I was behind a couple of other people in line, and there were a couple of people behind me. I kept feeling a tickle in my hair in the back of my head, but every time I looked behind me, the guy there was a few steps back and looking at the floor. This happened several times by the time I was at the front of the line. The pharmacist told me she wanted to talk to me about my medication in the consultation room they had at the time, since converted to a bathroom. I thought this was weird because we both knew I had been on this medication for years and would be for life. Nothing new. I get back to the room and close the door, and she comes in from the door at the other side that leads from the pharmacy. She told me that the man behind me had been stepping forward, sticking his nose in my hair, and smelling, before stepping back and looking at the floor. This shook me pretty badly, as this is such weird behavior, especially in my little town. The pharmacy staff insisted on having me wait there until the guy was distracted by another pharmacy employee, and they had a security guard walk me to my car and watch me drive off, to make sure I was gone before Hair Sniffer came out and saw what I was driving and what direction I was going. I still use this pharmacy and some of the same people still work there. I will always be grateful that they took the initiative to make sure I was safe that day. The next post from Arnold Schrodinger is titled, "Come Here Baby." A few years ago I was living alone in a little house which had a heavy back door that would swell up some after it rained and get really tough to open and make a lot of noise. Late one night I had passed out on my sofa in the living room on the opposite side of the house, but woke up to something which I now assume was the back door being opened. I'm an idiot BTW and used to never lock the back door. Netflix was still blaring away on laptop as I slowly squinted my eyes open and realized there was the black outline of someone standing still in the hallway looking down at me. They were not very large or tall based on how much space they took up in the doorframe. Being completely disoriented in my waking state, my mind latched onto the first thought that came to mind, which was that it must be my girlfriend. I was naked at the time and pulled back my blanket with my legs sprawled and junk hanging out and called to her in my best deep sexy voice, "Come here, baby." Upon discovering on a naked 6 feet plus 200 pound man beckoning to them with his genitalia, the not my girlfriend person immediately turned on their heel, revealing a large backpack, and booked it for the back door. By the time I stumbled up to the door, all I could hear was them taking off into the darkness at a full sprint. I can only guess, based on their height, that they did not come there with the bold intention of being the little spoon. The next post from Sweaty Ev is titled "I Was on Someone's Kill List." After high school many years ago, I was in a bad place. My guardian had kicked me out after graduation. She didn't help me find a place to stay, so I lived in my car for a couple months. I met some heavy metal dudes at work one day. I had seen him around town, and all my other friends knew who they were. Everyone loved them. We became friends over a couple months, and they offered for me to move in with them. I agreed. Looking back now, I wish I had just stayed in my car. My two main roommates were brothers, named Andrew and Seth. They were in a band. They also believed in the occult and anything of that sort. I never really believed in that stuff, but I'm not one to tell someone what they should believe. They had let me live with them rent-free for several months, so who was I to complain? Being the only female in a house full of young men, I was always looking over my shoulder. You never know who you can trust. Turns out I was right to worry. Over time, their friends started to stay with us for longer periods of time, sometimes weeks. Their friends were another group of brothers that they had gone to school with. There were 5 brothers in total, but only 2 stayed with us consistently. The younger brother, Mark, was very polite. He cleaned up after himself and always helped with the household chores. The other brother, Adam, had a laundry list of mental problems. He had apparently done some bad drugs back in the day, and it had developed into what seemed like psychosis of the religious sort. He had done time in prison for assaulting a woman with a Bible. He would often look you in the eyes and tell you he could see how you would die. Once, he told me that I was possessed by a demon and I needed my soul cleansed. Everyone in the house knew he had these problems, but he was their friend. They helped him through the hard times and gave him a place to stay. Otherwise, he would be on the streets. I was always on guard around him after the things he told me. No one else seemed to be as concerned as I was. They should have been. One day, I was sleeping and my phone rang. It was my boss. He asked if I could come into work an hour early. It was only 12 p.m., I was broke and had nothing better to do, so I said yes. I got up and began getting ready to leave. I walked out into the living room to see Mark and Andrew sitting on the couch, while Adam sat on the floor by the TV. He was watching scripture videos on YouTube. Some real end of days shit. That was fairly common, so I went about my business. I said goodbye and left for work. My shift at work was almost complete, when the phone rang. My boss answered, handed the phone to me, and said, "For you." I was just a cashier, so I assumed it was a friend that couldn't reach me on my phone. I answered the phone and heard a man's voice that I didn't recognize. "Hi, this is Detective Williams. Something happened at your apartment today and we need you to come to the station to talk about it." I left work immediately. I had assumed one of the brothers had been arrested for drug dealing or something. I was very wrong. I got to the station and was buzzed in. An officer escorted me to a small, cold room with a camera. He gave me a bottle of water, and left me by myself for about 30 minutes. My mind was racing thinking about what could have happened. He came back in and informed me that Adam had stabbed and killed Andrew at around 1 p.m. I was shocked. I had just left the house an hour before it happened, and everything seemed fine. I asked if there had been a fight. The detective informed me that there hadn't been a fight, and it seemed to have happened out of nowhere. I gave my statement to the police, and left with nowhere to go, still in shock and confused out of my mind. Our apartment was a crime scene, so I went to another friend's house to watch the news report, since the police wouldn't give me any information on the case. Over the next couple of days, the information began to be released. Adam hadn't just stabbed Andrew once, not twice, but he had stabbed him over and over and nearly decapitated him. After the murder, he ran down the road, still holding the murder weapon. He called 911 and informed them what he had done. I watched the news report in horror. We had known he was unstable, but this. He had fully confessed to the brutal murder, and provided police with his notebooks. He had apparently been planning to murder all of his brothers, my roommates, and me. He thought we were possessed by demons, and this was the only way to free us. Luckily, none of his other intended victims were there that day. Mark unfortunately witnessed the murder, but he luckily escaped. If I hadn't gotten that call from my boss, I wouldn't be alive today. So, to the man who brutally murdered my friend, and wanted to murder me, let's never meet again. The next post from Sip of Sunshine is titled I Was Someone Else's Let's Not Meet. This was years ago, but I still tell this story to friends anytime I get the chance. I was the baddie in someone's Let's Not Meet. When I was in high school, I entered a relationship with a very close friend named Ivory. After Ivory and I broke up, we stayed good friends. When Ivory's birthday came around, she asked me to come to the birthday party she was having. The first leg of the evening was at a restaurant I'd never been to a few towns over. Afterward, we would all return to a mutual friend's house for beverages and relaxation. One of Ivory's friends had volunteered to drive us all to the restaurant, but I'd heard plenty of stories about her terrible driving. As a result, I opted to chauffeur myself in my luxurious minivan. Yes, I drove a minivan in high school. Ivory's friend told me 7 p.m, so at 7 p.m. my black ass rolled into the parking lot. I called Ivory to let her know I had arrived, but they were just leaving. I overheard Ivory tell her friend, if you tell Sip of Sunshine 7, he's there at 7. This all meant I had about a half hour of boredom before I'd have company. Being the introvert I am, I decided not to go inside and wait like a normal person. Instead, I decided to listen to whatever angsty music I was into at the time, Probably Heartbeat by Childish Gambino. Moreover, I also didn't park right near the restaurant. The restaurant was located in a plaza, a strip with several other stores along either side. For some reason, I thought it'd be weird for patrons to see me just sitting there like some waiting weirdo. Instead, I parked at the far end of the plaza by a supermarket. I could still see the restaurant, and there were fewer cars on this side of the parking lot. 5 minutes goes by, I'm rapidly switching through songs. 10 minutes goes by, I'm bored like a piece of pine in a woodshop class. Out of the abyssal silence of boredom, I felt the hum of a text come through. Ivory had texted me, thank God, a brief reprieve from this boredom. As I'm composing a response, I get this weird feeling. You know that feeling like someone is watching you, like you can almost hear their eyes. I felt something unnerving, so I looked up from the glow of my phone into the darkness before me. What I saw was a family of four. There was a woman, her husband, and their two children. All four were looking at me intensely. The woman was standing in front of her two children with her hands outstretched as though to shield them from a proleptic and palpable existential danger. The look in her eyes was of sheer horror, like a waiter had asked her, "Is Pepsi okay?" I have never seen such utter panic so visible on someone's face, and I once had to physically intervene to prevent an armed assailant from attacking someone. The woman slowly crept forward, family inching behind her. She began moving toward the driver's side, closer to me with each step, and with each step, her terror rising. At this point, I'm beginning to panic because I have no clue why this woman and her family are snarling at me so aggressively. Did they mistake me for Ajit Pai? Without warning, the husband says something I could not hear through the glass. He extends his arm and points to my left. His wife, children, and I all simultaneously follow his hand. He was pointing 5 spots to the left of my car where an almost identical one sat. The mother threw her head back in a single burst of laughter as she unlocked her car. This family left the grocery store to find a black teen dressed in all black sitting in their car. He then proceeded to maintain eye contact for what felt like an eternity. My perplexed expression likely appeared as a more sinister one, especially in the crepuscular light. I'm just glad they realized where their car was before anyone got hurt or police got called. So, family who thought I was in their car at night, I promise we totally can meet. I'm actually a really nice guy who doesn't steal cars. TLDR. Family thought I was stealing their car because I was sitting in my car to pass the time. Pretty sure the panic literally shaved years off that poor woman's life. Edit. I just want to thank everyone for being so encouraging about my writing. You all inspired me to take it seriously as a hobby. I'm sure you'll see me around on some writing subreddits. You lot are truly wonderful. The next post from Whimsy Moth is titled Guy at a bar roofies my beer and tries to convince my friends to let me go home with him. Last night my friends, my crush and I agreed to meet at my favorite bar after work. I was a bit early since I got to leave work 30 minutes early, so I went inside and ordered a beer for myself. There was a huge, muscular guy with a long-ass ponytail sitting at the bar and the seat next to him was empty. He offered me to sit down, so I did. We had some small talk and he seemed nice enough. Just asked me why I'm all alone, and he kept talking about how I looked so uneasy and nervous and that I should relax. It was weird, but he had an almost empty bottle of vodka in front of him, so I really didn't think anything of it. My friends finally arrived just as I finished my first beer and we went to sit at a table. I had three more bottles of beer and we were having a great time. Whenever I went to the toilet, that guy from the bar was there, asking me if I was okay. That was pretty strange, but at the time I felt just a little tipsy and everything was all right. At some point I started to feel sick, so I went outside to have a cigarette and get some cold air. The guy followed me outside and asked if I was all right. I was starting to get weirded out at that point. The bar was super full, but he really seemed to watch me all night. I went back inside, ordered a glass of water and told my friends that I wasn't feeling well and would be going home. They all offered to bring me home, which I am so darn grateful for looking back. I took a sip of water and then it all just hit me. I ran outside and threw up. I could barely stand up all of a sudden, so I sat down on a staircase and kept throwing up. My friends found me a few minutes later and kept arguing about whether they should take me to a taxi or carry me home. Then the guy from the bar showed up. He kept saying that he lives just down the street and that I could sleep on his couch. My coworker, who is basically like an older brother to me, got really pissed and told that guy to fuck off. They forced me to stand up, which was almost impossible at that point, and somehow dragged me to my friend's place, where I went to sleep hugging a bucket and feeling like I was gonna die any second. This morning I wasn't able to stand up for hours. When I did, it resulted in instant vomiting. It was 1 p.m. when I finally managed to go to the train station, get something to eat and drink and head home. I'm still shaking and sweating and everything looks blurry. So weird guy from the bar, I hope we never ever meet again and I hope you won't be doing this to other girls. The next post from Headless Lady is titled "My Daughter Was Somebody's LNM." My daughter reminded me about this today, and I thought y'all would enjoy the laugh. When my oldest daughter was a freshman in college, she and her friends decided to get into bones. Specifically, they would pick up decaying roadkill, clean the skulls, and make art from them, or sell them. Eventually, they decided to get some fresh cow skulls to clean. They went to a local slaughterhouse and bought three cow heads, wrapping them in plastic garbage bags and putting them in the back of their car. On the way to the cleaning site, they stopped at a home improvement store in the middle of nowhere to pick up some supplies. Two people went inside, two stayed with the car. After a few minutes, my daughter said, "I think the heads shifted. I'm going to check them and make sure the bags didn't come open." She got out, opened the hatchback, and the bags toppled out, spilling blood and decapitated cow heads onto the pavement. As she jumped back, she happened to see a lone store employee pushing carts back to the store. And he saw the heads. And the blood. He dropped the carts and power walked as fast as possible to the storefront, just as my daughter's friends came out. "We need to go," she said. And they went, with all haste. This was, 5 years ago. I'm sure that poor traumatized employee is hoping to never meet them again. The next post from Argurant is titled "My Neighbor Tries Claiming My House." This happened a little bit ago, about a month, and it was a bizarre experience to say the least. I'm 15, and I was playing some video games before passing out. It was about, say, 11 p.m, when I hear the doorbell ring. Out of instinct, I begin walking downstairs, but about halfway there rationality came to mind. Who the fuck rings a doorbell at 11 p.m? I silently strode back upstairs and stood in the hall, kinda expecting something bad to happen. An exact minute later, it rings twice. My parents begin to leave their room, and give my a quizzical look, and all I had to respond was a shrug. Then he starts banging on the door. My mother jumps at the first bang, and my father's eyes widened, but more in confusion than fear. He decided to go downstairs and peep through the view hole. It was our neighbor. My dad hesitantly opened the door, and I could hear my father's voice tremble slightly. "Hey, what do you need?" Next thing I hear is an entire full-blown scream argument from our neighbor, claiming that this household was his, and we stole it from him. My father's uneasiness was quickly replaced with annoyance, and he simply shut the door without giving our neighbor the time of day. My dad stepped on the first step going up the stairwell when our neighbor first hit the door. I'm not talking banging with a fist. This man was full body slamming it. My father was stunned for a second, and my neighbor charged the door again. This time, we began to hear the splintering of wood. Everyone reacted at once. My father went to brace the door with his body, my mother went to go get the other two kids, and I went for 911. The The body slamming ensued for another 5 minutes, and while I was on the phone with 911, it stopped. I thought it was over, and I was relieved. But I still stuck on the phone. I go peek out the front window of my house, and boy, was it only getting started. Our neighbor took his Jeep Wrangler and simply directed it straight at our house. We had zero clue what he was doing, until he hit the gas and we heard the squealing of tires, then he immediately hit the brakes. He was trying to scare us out of the house. I was still on the phone with 911, and I stepped away from the window to comfort my siblings, crack jokes and such. Eventually, police arrived and arrested him. The next morning, I left for school, still shaken from the night before. I stepped onto our front steps, and saw tire marks leading up to our front door. The lunatic actually nearly rammed our door down with his car. I really never want to see this cunt ever again, but he lives directly to my right. Fuck my life. Edit. Alright, I don't know if he has a mental illness or not, I'm sorry. And no, I'm not going to physically harm him via blade nor bullet. Stop suggesting that. Edit 2, no, I do not care if he had threatened us, the situation was resolved with no one harmed. Stop saying my father should have hurt anyone. There was no need, rationality over emotion. And no, not even I trust my guardians with a firearm. I would probably be the best candidate for it, but I doubt my father will buy a gun and rely on his 15-year-old son to use it. Best that I wait until I'm of age. The next post from Artwart is titled Always Change Your Locks When You Buy a New House. So this happened in 2013 and I was 17. My family was looking at this house and the owner showed up and talked with my parents. Seemed like a nice older man, built the house himself. It's a pretty nice two-story house overlooking a river. Anyway, I was standing back watching everyone talk and as the owner is talking and laughing there's a break in the conversation where he turns away from my parents and his expression completely and instantly changes from happy to the most sinister and hateful scowl I've ever seen. I don't think he noticed me watching, it probably appeared to be on my phone as my head was down. As soon as he turned back he instantly went back to smiling. It was so creepy and honestly made me feel sick. I told my mom who said it was weird but maybe he's just awkward. So we got the house. We moved in and the next weekend my family is going to church but I don't feel like going. So they all leave me at home. So it's Sunday morning about 11 a.m. when I hear really loud banging outside. It's rhythmic and coming from the side of the house. I was on the other side of the house on the second floor. Honestly my dumbass thought it was maybe the wind, it was stormy that day, and I didn't think much of it. It stopped after about 5 minutes. 10 minutes later I hear walking around downstairs. Chairs moving, kitchen cabinets opening and the fridge opening. I immediately quietly go lock my door, grab my baseball bat, and call 911. While I tell them my address I text my mom and tell her that someone is in the house and that I've called 911. At that point the 911 operator said that someone was 10 minutes out. I tell her shush cause I heard steps walking towards the stairs. Basically the house is so thin I could track where he was in the house. At this time my mom responded that she's on her way. Shush is 30 minutes away. So here is a 17-year-old, 5 feet 2, 100 pounds girl hunkered in her room full well knowing that if he came in he'd overpower me and take the bat. I was fucking terrified. I heard him walk down the hallway towards my door. I saw the handle turn and stop. It was locked. And I heard him stand there. He didn't move. I could hear his breathing. It felt like forever but really I think it was about 10 seconds. I heard him turn and go back down. I heard the back door open and shut. And about 3 minutes later the police pulled up. The 911 operator asked me if I could let them in or if they needed to force it. I knew he had left so I let them in. No one was there, no sign of forced entry, nothing. When my mom got there she looked at my stepdad and asked if he had changed the locks. He hadn't. I think the creepiest part, and what really validated my story, was that my mom had just vacuumed the hallway. And there were shoe prints that were larger than anyone in our house. And the police hadn't been up there. And they stopped just outside my room. He died about a year after that. Please don't forget to change your locks. The next post from Sir Clorox is titled Grindr Horror Story. Dot. This happened 2 days ago. I live in a small city in Romania, around 30,000 inhabitants. Romania isn't exactly known for their tolerance of gay people, it's not as bad as other places, such as Russia, but the situation is definitely not rosy here either. I get on Grindr and meet a guy. 18 years old apparently. The guy didn't have a picture of his face as his PFP, because it's too dangerous, he had a picture of a rose drawing. Most guys on Grindr here don't have pictures of themselves. We talk for a bit and I really liked the guy, and then we finally accept to exchange face pictures. I send him a selfie of myself, and he sends me a picture of a guy from our city. He was cute and I really liked him, so I told him, "Hey, I saw you around the city, didn't know you were gay," too laughing face. We talk and finally arrange to meet. I had some errands to run at the tailor shop, my cousin's bachelorette party is coming next week, and I had to adjust my favorite shirt, so I ask him to meet in front of the tailor shop. The building in which the tailor shop is located has 4 stories, the ground floor is a clothes shop, which my aunt works at, the first floor is a sausage room, the third floor is a barber's salon and the fourth floor was the tailor shop. I go to the tailor shop, and then go to the clothes shop on the ground floor to visit my aunt and see how she's doing. As I was looking out the window of the clothes shop, I noticed there were 5 men, all of them in their late 20s behind the building. None of them was the guy the first got a picture of, and none of them even looked remotely close to what the guy looked like. I text the guy the first was supposed to meet and ask him if he made it to the tailor shop. As soon as I send the message, one of the 5 guys' phones lit up, and he started texting. As soon as he stopped texting, I got a notification from Grindr. I'm behind the tailor shop, I went there to smoke so no one would see me. Come smoke with me. I was terrified as I realized I wasn't going to meet the guy in the picture. He tries to get me to go behind the tailor shop, and I try to get him to the side of it. There were no windows to the side of the building, so after a few tries, he agreed to meet at the side of the tailor shop. All 5 guys went to the side of the tailor shop. I peeked my head from the door, looked left and right, and as soon as I saw my way was clear, I ran for it. Grindr cutie, let's not meet. Edit. I bumped into the cute guy the next day, and started talking to him. I opened my phone and pretended to use it, and I went on Grindr. I saw him look at my screen and ask me, "You're, you know." I say yes, cause I actually knew he was gay too, and he says, "Me too." I told him about the incident, and he got kind of scared, as the guys used his picture. On a more positive note, he agreed to go out with me once school starts again. The next post from Alcoholic Cat Lady is titled "Years of Watching Crime Docs Might Have Saved My Life." Dot. For 6 months last year I lived in the north of Spain. About a week before I was going to move back to Ireland, my friend and I were at my house having dinner and drinking a little. I was renting an apartment in the city and my roommate was an older lady, maybe in her 50s. I'm 20. That night my roommate left to go have dinner with her friends. About a minute after she left, someone buzzed our door to be let into the building. I looked at the camera and didn't recognize the woman. She looked to be in her late 20s to early 30s, so I just assumed it was one of my roommate's friends and she was coming to meet her or something like that. I buzzed her into the building assuming they would meet in the lobby. At first I didn't buzz her in because I didn't recognize her and she walked away from the door, but then I hit the buzzer as soon as she walked away and then I, myself, walked away from the camera, meaning I couldn't see if she actually entered or not, assuming that if she didn't enter she would just call or text my roommate. Boy, was I wrong. This woman came up to my apartment building on the 6th floor, she came up just 2 minutes after my roommate left, so I know she didn't take the stairs and I know they must have seen each other when my roommate got off the lift and the lady got in. Realizing that this is weird, I do not open the door when she rings it. I look through the peephole just to confirm that it was nobody I knew. At this point I back away from the door and gesture for my friend to be silent. We creep back to my room, which is at the far side of the apartment, and I begin calling my roommate, who isn't picking up. Meanwhile, the lady is incessantly ringing my door. My roommate is not picking up and my friend is just telling me to open my door. In her mind it's a woman, so she must be harmless. I tell her she's an idiot for underestimate the female sex. Women can be criminals too. She keeps telling me to open the door and I refuse. The door keeps ringing. I keep looking out the peephole. At this point I understand that if she knew my roommate or was looking for someone specific, she would just call or text them. She didn't take out a phone at all. She just stayed eerily silent. Didn't call out any names or ask if anyone was home. This was weird to me. I finally get through to my roommate. She says she wasn't expecting anyone and that she doesn't know anyone in that age range. She asks if I'm okay and I say I'm fine. Now it's been at least 20 minutes. I know the lady knows someone is home because the lights are on, and my understanding is that's why she's not leaving. I continue watching her through the peephole and see her go into the lift for a minute and then come back out again. The lift is really loud and I would have heard it move. It didn't. She just went in and came out. In my mind, this means someone is in the lift waiting for her. This screams sketchy to me. After about 40 minutes, she leaves. I run to our hall and flick on the outside camera. The lady left the building with two men. They all had backpacks on. I will be eternally grateful for trusting my instincts and not listening to my friend. Sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry. Creepy lady with henchmen, let's not meet again. TLDR, three people tried to get into my apartment and my ass was saved because I wasn't naive enough to believe that women don't commit crime. Today's last post from 2000 SGIRL is titled I was kidnapped at 4 years old and didn't even realize. I'll start by saying, I have a terrible biological father. He has been a shady person all of my life and constantly caused me a lot of grief. This is just one of those examples. When I was 4, my parents split up. My mother and I moved states and they agreed I would visit my dad every school holidays for a week. This one particular time, I had been with him for a few days when I was playing with my cousin at a nearby park. A car pulled up and I recognized the man as one of my dad's friends. He called me over and without thinking, I ran over to him and left my cousin at the park. He asked me if I could show him where my dad lived and I agreed and got in his car. I gave directions and didn't notice at all that they weren't following him correctly. Looking back, I didn't really know the way anyhow. After way too long, I did realize that we were getting closer to the city, which is far from my dad's house. We pulled up at a house I didn't recognize and the man told me to wait in the car. I did. I didn't feel scared at all for some reason. He eventually took me inside and I definitely started to feel unsafe then. I mainly remember two girls passed out with their tops off, and a much older man was feeling them up everywhere. I made eye contact with this man and he made me sick to my stomach. I had definitely figured out that this was a bad situation by this point. A lady took me into a bedroom and brought me a sandwich. The bread was stale and I wasn't hungry, but I ate it all because I felt bad for her. Which doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what I was thinking about. The lady told me a lot of things I didn't understand, but when she left, I remember thinking my dad was coming to pick me up soon. I fell asleep waiting for him. I wet the bed that night and no one came to see me the next day until I cried very loudly and banged on the door. The lady came back and yelled at me for stinking up her bedroom and I asked about my dad. She said he was coming tonight after he finished work. She didn't offer me a shower or a bath, so I sat in my soiled pants all day. After that, everything turned into a blur really. My dad did not come that night and I was so terrified. In my head I felt like I was there for months. I thought I was missing school and everyone had forgotten about me. In reality I was there for 5 days. They let me take one shower. I don't remember eating much except for boring sandwiches and I had chips and gravy once. Finally my mum drove across the country to come and get me. After not being able to get a hold of me or my dad for so long and then me missing my pre-booked flight home, she panicked and came looking for me. Thank God she did. She found my dad at his girlfriend's house, methed out completely, hiding out. Turns out he owed a lot of drug money to the people who had taken me. They had told him that they had me but he couldn't afford it, or didn't want me back. Whatever it was, he didn't bother to try to get me back. My amazing mum paid his debt for him after borrowing from a lot of people and she came to get me back. I remember when someone came into that room and told me my mum was here and I walked out and I could smell her. It was the best feeling to feel safe again. She took me home and I didn't see my dad again for a long time. She never called the police. My parents' relationship was very complicated then and I fully understand the choices she made. I'm definitely okay now. I've spoken about this in therapy and I've come to terms with most of the things that I went through as a child. But still a fucked up situation for a 4-year-old girl to have to be in. So to my dad's friend, the sandwich lady, and even to my dad himself, let's not meet.